Welcome to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast, where we try to showcase individual perspectives of Sri graduates about different pathways of life. I am Arjit Singh, and today I will continue to try to uncover what it means to have a traditional career. Many of us who come from countries where English isn't the first language are often required to push to learn a second and sometimes third language. Personally, I believe that learning different languages is an exceptionally interesting skill, one that often comes much more naturally and easily when we do it as little children, but nonetheless, a lot of fun at any age. The past few years, I have been wanting to learn German myself, and even though I've been able to ask and reply to a question or two at a restaurant, I believe there is still a very long way to go before I can speak or understand their longest word. Well, it's 80 letters long, and I'm in no hurry. Anyway, a video I was watching a few days ago talked about how our languages shape how we think. An example that was used was about an Aboriginal community in Australia that uses only north, south, east, and west for any and all explanations of direction instead of words like right or left. I shared this with you because today I have with me another guest teaching English abroad. She is currently in Pyeongtaek, South Korea, where she moved after graduating with a degree in design to follow a path that we at Kadam call untraditional but traditional. She went to college for industrial design because of her Google search that said creative jobs that pay well. In college, she realized that she was much better at classes that had nothing to do with design, but her passion is what kept her going. Now, she does some freelance work, but pays most of her bills through her job as an English teacher and makes some extra income from trading in stocks and crypto. Let's learn more about it all through none other than Jam. Welcome to the show, Jam, and thank you so much for coming on.
Man, thank you for that awesome intro.
Of course. I'm glad you like it. So,
no, that was great.
Yeah, and how are you and how is living in Korea?
I'm doing really well. Living in Korea is definitely different, but it's something that I've grown to really love. It's awesome.
Yeah, so let me start by asking you this. And I understand that moving across the world and paying all your bills is seen as one of your biggest personal achievements now, but before you actually looked for this English teaching job, did you ever think you would be doing what you were doing? And did you ever think you'd move to a country in East Asia to stray away from a full-time job that you put so many hours into in college?
Man, honestly, no. This was not in the plan at all. It wasn't until after I graduated from college that I even realized that this was something that I could do. Like, I had no idea. I've never heard of anyone like going abroad teaching. I've heard of people like studying abroad and some programs like at universities where you can go and learn. But I didn't know that I could come to a completely different culture, completely different country and teach. Like, yeah. It was not on my radar at all. So,
yeah,
I feel like there was more to the question you asked.
Not a whole lot. I mean, it's okay if you've missed a couple of things, but it was just more or less about, you know, the experience of moving and just because I think it's so like sometimes hard, it can be seen as something very hard to just move across the world and do what you're doing. So I really appreciate what you're doing and really, really think that it's great that you've been able to adjust so well. So you said in an answer in our survey earlier that you plan to work full-time in design, but that changed because you were stressed by a few aspects of the subject or things in college. What do you think those were? And looking back at it, how do you think you could have done better? This can be what you think is best or what you think and saw that worked for other people.
I think most of my stress when it comes to design and design work is actually one of the things that I love about it, which is crazy. It sounds crazy, but it's the freedom to create your own timeline, right? So you have a deadline, But when you're in design, no one sits you down and tells you like, okay, you're going to need about 3 days to sketch. You're going to need a day to rework all those sketches. You're going to need 2 days for prototyping. You're going to need, like, that's something that you just kind of have to figure out on your own. And it's really tailored personally to you. Like, what is your design strategy? How do you go about things? Right. So it's not something someone can teach you. You have to fall down a couple of times, scrape some knees, and figure it out on your own, fail a project or two, you know, like that's just one of those things totally. That you have to kind of figure out. But being that I was such a great traditional student, being in that if you told me we had a test, then I can study the night before and pass it. And that was like a no-brainer. But when it came down to me having to figure out a lot of things on my own, I struggled a bit. And so time management was definitely the biggest thing that stressed me out. Like not being able to figure out what schedule I needed to be on. And also not even just balancing like my coursework and those things, but also trying to balance. I'm in college, so I'm trying to have a social life. I'm trying to, you know, hang out and also make sure I'm getting my work done. So that time management skill is something that I wish I would have developed even before I started college. Like if I could have developed that in high school, been able to like keep myself to a schedule or figure out how to quickly adjust to new needs, new things being thrown into my arena, then I feel like I definitely, I'm not going to say wouldn't be stressed because, you know, that comes with when you have a passion for something, you want things to be great, right. You know, yeah, a certain level of stress comes with that. But it would have been less of a burden because I would have been able to kind of juggle and feel more secure with my time.
Right. And I think it comes a little bit with just the nature of design as well, like you said too, you know, just thinking about different projects and different prototyping that we have to do with all kinds of different stuff, right? So unless we're in a very particular industry, and even then, let's say you're in the like furniture industry or something like that, not every chair or not every table or not everything that you're designing is going to take the same amount of prototyping. You know, a 3D print might take 20 hours. And you just have to kind of work around that. So with the sketches and stuff too that you said, you know, you have to go back to sometimes. You have to figure out some things that don't work in prototyping, and you have to like go back a stage and think about how you can reevaluate some of that. So that definitely makes a lot of sense. And you know, thinking about that, Jam, and since you mentioned like high school and stuff too, like did you ever think in high school that you were going to do design? Because you did mention, you know, that it was just something that you researched on Google, you know, you said high paying jobs that are artistic or something like that, right? So how did that come about really? And how did you choose on industrial design?
Man, this one is funny. I was one of those kids that wanted to do it all. So I remember at one point wanted to be a veterinarian. I really got hooked on Discovery Health at one point, and I wanted to deliver babies until I realized that it's kind of messy. I don't want to do that. So I went through all of the things. Like I wanted to do everything. I wanted to write books. I wanted to just, it was so many things that I wanted to do. So design didn't come into my radar. Like when I said that, I really meant that until I Googled it. My junior year of high school, you know, you're about to start, you start applying for schools. And I'm like, I don't know. Nothing felt right. You know, I was like, I don't want to put down that I want to major in engineering. I don't want to do like business, or you know, they like go for psychology, sociology, like no shade to anybody with those like degrees, but yeah. I'm just like, I'm not feeling it. And so I Googled literally creative jobs that pay well. I knew I loved creativity, like just being able to create things, whether it was with words or painting, or I've always just loved my creative side, drawing, sketching, like just something I did as a hobby. But I remember someone telling me when I was in high school, a mentor, and they're like, you know, if you love what you're doing, you don't work. You know, if you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life.
Correct. Yeah.
So I was like, if I love art, let's find out how I can make money by using my creative skill. So I Googled it, and I literally, there's like a .gov website on like that you can like see all the different job descriptions that there are in the whole country, like anything, everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so one of the first ones I saw was architecture, and I was like, ah, that doesn't really fit. I'm reading the descriptions. I'm like, they do make a good salary every year. And I'm like, that's nice. But I'm like, it's not really quite what I'm looking for. And I stumbled across on this like government website, I stumbled across industrial design, and like, you can design products, things that we use in everyday life. And I was like, whoa, somebody, I never had thought before that time that somebody had to sit down and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Just a lot of people that are not in that industry just don't think of those things, right? So nobody's thinking, oh, who designed this glass or who designed like the mouse that I'm using or something like that. I mean, if it's good, yes, people appreciate it. And they're like, oh, this is good, you know, and they'll most of what they'll do is like they'll do some research and see other people that have reviewed that product. But nobody actually thinks about like what the company is actually doing or who's on the back, you know, just exactly. Actually doing all these things. Yeah. So.
Exactly. That's exactly what went through my mind. I'm like, you know, it never occurred to me that somebody gets paid to do these things. And I was like, it should be me. It should be me. So then went on my search for like universities that offered some kind of industrial design program. I saw lots of graphic design. But I was searching for industrial design. That was the coolest thing I had ever seen or ever heard of. And I lived in Alabama. So I'm from Alabama, Huntsville. And the only school in Alabama with an industrial design program was Auburn. So that's how I ended up there, majoring in industrial design.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you ever think of, you know, going out of state, or was that just not something that you had been thinking? Like, was your family based in Alabama as well, or how did that work out?
So my family was based in Alabama, and my mom served in the U.S. Army for over 24 years. And so I had a scholarship to go to a school in Alabama. So I was really like, I'm going to Alabama because it's paid for, you
right.
know?
Yeah, definitely.
And so it made the search very easy for where I wanted to go to school.
Yeah, totally, definitely. And so right after graduation, I know that there was like some time that, you know, you were still in Auburn. I'm not sure if you were doing a design job, but what exactly did you do in that time? And from what I've learned, you know, you applied to only two design jobs. Between that time, did you ever think that you could have chosen a different field for yourself? I don't know if you would call that better or worse or just different, right? So I ask you this because, you know, I've been in and out of design jobs as well. And it's the time that's between the jobs that really just gets me thinking about life choices a lot. So you also said, and I quote, the post-college fairy tale is not everybody's story, right? So did that ever happen to you?
I think once I graduated and the like anxiety of just being now I'm out of college and then everyone's asking me, so now what are you going to do? And I'm just kind of like, if you have a clue, let me know because I'm taking suggestions.
Right. Yeah. And that happens to so many people, like with, I don't know, just like people that are around you, like it can be friends or relatives and stuff like that. And we've discussed that before on the podcast too, but it's just the people around you that like stress you out so much, being like, oh, like, what are you going to do now? You know, you're a big boy or a big girl, or, you know, you've graduated or whatever it is. And it can be intimidating for sure.
Right. And so I'm getting these questions and I wanted, like, my plan was I'm going to go work for a design company. But as we know, industrial design is such a like large gaping, like it's so vast for the different ways that you can use industrial design. And it even stems off into like user interface design and web design. Like there's so many things, which I love about industrial design. But for me at the time, it was just way too much to like consume all at once. I'm like, I'm now thrown into the ocean of what possibilities could be. And I was like, I don't know even what direction to look, to turn to. So I'm like, I'm going to just put my like portfolio, you know, designers, we have resumes, but that's nothing. Where's your portfolio? And so I was really anxious about my portfolio. I was like, you know, it's has projects in it, but do these projects really show what I can do? Like, is it good enough? So I kind of beat myself up on that aspect of it. So it kind of stifled me from going out and just seeing what might happen. So I just ended up settling for just a 9-to-5 call center job in my college town, which was dreadful.
And what, if you don't mind me asking, like what company was that?
So I worked for a company that was a third party for Verizon. So I was selling, like, I was the online chat person. You ever have an issue with your phone at Verizon and there's a little chat box that pops up? We all think they're robots, but no, that is human powered. I was one of those people that you talk to. So that was me for a little under a year, maybe like 8 months, 8 months after graduation.
Yeah. And I was in a role too, where I had to do a little bit of that. And it definitely is something that I guess I don't want to ever do in life again, because it's just, it can just be the most frustrating thing ever. And I mean, like, you know, providing a customer experience is definitely like good, and being able to know what the company is all about and then being able to do that is still different. You know, if you're told a lot about the company and a lot about the product, then I think it's a little bit easier. But a lot of times when people are just thrown into a call center job, they're not really taught a whole lot, I think. And so that can definitely be hard. And for me, it was just like, oh, there's another Indian guy on the call center, you know? So somebody like called me Raj, or like somebody called me Raj on the call. And I was just like, all right, this is it. This is my day, you know? And I just have had enough of that. So I just definitely had to quit at that point. But it definitely wasn't fun. And I think with you too, I think that's the case, you know, just like not something that as creatives we want to be doing, just because we're so tied up either to a script or to just, you know, things that really don't want them to be in our radar. Right. And so according to you, just because, like, you know, you mentioned portfolios and stuff too, what role, positive or negative, does comparing yourself to other colleagues play? And this couldn't be a comparison of design portfolios or other things that you've seen in jobs, you know? So if you're in the call center, like if somebody's hitting better numbers than you or something like that, or maybe just like, you know, how well students do in like your class versus how students do in other teachers' classes.
Oh man, what a question. This is like, that's pretty deep. Like, I think it affects everything, not even just career-wise, but in life, man. Like, I literally just remembered a quote that someone told me, which is, comparison is the thief of joy. And I find that so true. Like, how many opportunities we may have missed because we were comparing what could happen to what happened for someone else. Like, we all know, we've all been told that everyone's writing their own story. You know, you have your own thing that you're set on this earth to do, but it is really hard to like not want to like peek over and see what's happening with your neighbor. Like, you know, the grass is greener theory, but the truth is the grass is green where you water it. Like, that's just, that's truth. So it definitely plays a role. Like as a teacher now, I almost have to compare children against each other. Like, okay, it's like a benchmark kind of bell curve thing. So you're like, okay, this is the worst student in the class. These kids are somewhere in the middle. How do I tailor the class around, you know, meeting everyone's needs? So it's like, I feel like it's human nature to compare yourself to see what's going on. But to our detriment, you know, you can definitely do it to your detriment.
Yeah, no, that that definitely, like that quote that you said, you know, I don't know how well that works for everybody, because a lot of times I personally see myself making those comparisons and pushing myself even more, you know, and that's something that I like to do. And so I see why and how that could definitely negatively impact a lot of people. And I think sometimes it does that to me too, just because like I look at things and I want to do everything, you know. So even in product design, I'm like, I want to be able to use this software, or this person's doing this animation and I want to be able to do that, you know. And so I a lot of times see myself trying to learn those things without really having, let's say, a set goal in mind. I mean, like just like with timelines and stuff too, you know, I'll pick up, let's say, three softwares at a time, or like pick up web designing and something else at the same time. And so I end up like conflicting with myself a lot more than with other people. But it's, I guess, because other people are doing so many different things. And so definitely makes a lot of sense, that quote and stuff, and about grass being greener on the other side as well. And I believe that, I guess, like earlier that you mentioned too, that you know, when you love something, of course, you're not working a day in your life too. So all in all, I think it's something definitely that we all think about a whole lot and, you know, compare ourselves, but I don't know how healthy it is for everybody. So definitely something that people need to think about and find ways to do that better, if not, yeah. Just not at all, you know? So, okay, let's see. So how often do you do freelance work, and what are some of your favorite projects do you have done so far in terms of what they have taught you, you know, and what have you learned in terms of maybe negotiation or working for different clients or something like that, you know, just because I know that that's not your main job right now, but it's something that still interests you. How do you balance that?
So with the freelance work, I don't do it as often as I was when I was in the States. So it's a little bit different because I'm overseas. So sometimes the time conflict can be a lot, but I may do a project a month, or I actually have one kind of client that I regularly do projects because we built a relationship over years. And so I'm regularly doing that, but I've done a lot of like brand reworking or like social media rebranding kind of things, and small business rebranding. So I really enjoyed that just because it's pretty cool to play a hand in the kind of frameworks of someone's business, and they're trusting you to be the face. Like I like to see it as that, like I'm no model or anything, but now I'm the face of your company, because when someone sees you, they're seeing the work that I've put out. And I think that's really dope. That honestly was one of my favorite projects, even when I was in school, was branding and packaging. Like that's super interesting to me. It's super fun because you get to put a little bit of your heart with the heart of your client. Because you're taking their ideas, and people love to see like ideas that they've had come to life. Like it's something swimming around in their mind, but you're able to make that a reality for them. And so I feel like a fairy.
Truly, truly, for sure. and you know, and that's something that, you know, I've been through, and what comes to mind really is sometimes having conflicts with clients, right? So I don't know who it was. I think it was Paul Rand, the IBM designer, you know, who was just like, hey, you give me a project, I'm going to do it. You really don't have a say in it because I'm the designer here. you know? And so I think that's something that I've talked about before as well, is being able to find that middle ground, in a sense, you know, because like the client might know what they want, but it might not look the best, you know? And so you have to really be that person to define what that middle ground sometimes is, and how you do that, I guess, is how good of a designer you really are, you know?
Yeah, you gotta be a bit of like design is so interesting because you also have to do a little bit of like marketing, and you also have to do a little bit of like sales person work. Like, so totally. I guess shout out to the call center for like
teaching me
the like way to like weasel it, around, right? Like, finesse for real. Like, shout out to the call center for teaching me the ways of the salesman. But like,
totally.
That's some parts of it, because you like, I've seen it. You told me what you wanted, and this is what I saw. So sometimes I think the biggest like issue that comes with that is like trying to rework the idea that is already like stitched into your mind, like, this is what this looks like, this is what it should be, and they're like, you're like,
yeah,
I
totally
put my whole heart into this. What's going on,
you know? Yeah,
it's exactly. Amazing.
Yeah, and sometimes you really just like those things that you think look good, but your client is just like, you know, I don't really like that, or you know, it could be better, or it could be this, or it could be that, and sometimes they'll mention things that could be changed, and you've already done that sometimes, and you've landed on this, you know, and so you actually end up actually thinking about how you're going to bring that back, in a sense, you know, so you've already done that thing, and you're like, okay, I'll just give it to them, even though I'm not like in total favor of that, if that makes sense.
And I think as a creative person, one of the kickbacks of that is like, you'll have a client tell you something, so you're using all your creative juices, you've come up with an idea, and they're like, oh, but look at how they did it, this is
comes back to comparison, right?
Yeah, comparison. And you're like, do I need to change my whole design style? Is that what this is? Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, with that, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about trading, you know, just because you've been in that for a little bit now as well. So from your Instagram stories, of course, I've seen that there's some crypto in there. And I've been doing some research myself, and I've heard many different reviews about, you know, how and what you should invest in, and about bubbles in the crypto world and all kinds of other stuff, you know. So do you also trade stocks and bonds and things like that, or is it just crypto? How do you choose what you want to invest in? And is it stuff that really interests you, or do you just follow charts and see what you think will be most beneficial?
Okay. So with me, I don't often trade stocks. Not often. I have, but it's not like something I do a lot. Cryptos, I do more frequently than the stocks, but the most frequent thing that I'm investing is actually the foreign exchange market. So I ended up tapping into that because, like, as we've already mentioned, I live in South Korea, so I live in a completely different country. And there's something to like notice if you're living in a different country and you're being paid in a currency that is not your home currency. So if ever I have to, whenever I wire money back to like my home account in my bank in the US, then there's a exchange that happens then. And so on certain days, let's say I send $20 in my US account, it might show up as $20 this one day. And that's like, oh, okay, so I just sent the money, it's cool. But there might be another day where I send the same amount of money, and in my US account, it shows up as $25. And so in that way, I just made money.
Right.
From the exchange of the currencies. Yeah. And so I do that via binary option. So it's a little bit fast paced, but I tap in with an educational platform that I'm learning strategy through. and it's been a blast, especially doing it over here, because I'm able to see it like right in my face almost on a like daily basis. They're like near in the areas that are saturated with foreigners, you'll see currency exchange booths, just, you know, scattered around the area. So it's like something that I'm able to see happen and to know that someone somewhere is making a profit off of that and that I'm able to be a part of it. It's totally, it's like legit.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you get into it?
So actually before I started, I was watching my girlfriend do it. So she was doing it before we even moved to South Korea. But once she showed, like, she's like, you see that currency exchange over there? That's what I do. And I'm like, oh, that's what it is. You should have said that before. Yeah. Okay. So
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't think a lot of people are into that right now. And you know, because I've been looking at stocks and cryptos and stuff, and they've been getting a lot more saturated than they've been in the past too, just because, like, you know, a lot of people have been at home, especially right now in India too, you know, with the lockdowns and stuff. And people need money-making schemes, you know, and sometimes they also need the thrill in life. And the stock market or something, I guess, like, provides some of that, you know, because there's so much fluctuation and you're having to think and see, let's say, like, charts or something, or invest in things that you think are actually going to grow. So things that you like, or things that you actually believe in, companies that you actually believe in, you know, things like that. So it's definitely like an interesting place to be. I'm not sure. I really like, because I haven't really like done a whole lot of research. I'm still kind of playing around with a little bit of that, but I'm not sure like how well the crypto is going to do, let's say, over the coming years and stuff like that, just because like some of it, I don't know if you've like seen NFTs and stuff, but they're weird. Like, some people are just like selling their sketches and stuff, and I don't really know what they're worth, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know, maybe it's beneficial to somebody, but I don't think everything out there is, and that might definitely be a bubble, like some people say. So we'll see how that goes. But I guess foreign exchange is always going to happen, so that's something that, you know, you're going to be in the long term for, I think. So
yeah, and like, I don't know, with, I thought about stocks a little bit before I moved, but what I was able to learn, like I said, I utilize an educational company that, like, a platform that teaches, like, all of these, so much knowledge. But I realized the stock market itself is only in the U.S., right? So they're like, when we talk about the stock exchange, we're talking about the U.S. stock exchange, stock market. So businesses located there. But when we talk about foreign exchange, that's worldwide. So it's so much more liquid money out and that's available for you to tap in with. And one of my drawbacks with the traditional way of purchasing stocks and trading that style, like holding stocks, which there's nothing wrong with it. It's a lot of people that make a lot of money from it, but you can only make the money when the stocks are doing well. So if a company starts doing bad, starts going bankrupt, anything like that, then you're going to lose money. But with currency exchange, I can make money whether a currency is doing really well on a buy, or I can make money if it's not doing so well on a sale. So I'm able to have a two-way streak with that. So it's never like I'm in a situation where, oh, I'm in a, like, this is going to be bad.
Right. So yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense and definitely something to think about. So thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, so let me talk about satisfaction and happiness. And that's something that I've done with a few people in the past too, but how satisfied are you with what you do as part of your daily job, plus the freelance and trading, you know, and how satisfied are you with what life has taught you, and where do you think you plan to take it in the future? Or what do you think provides or will provide the most happiness?
As of right now, I'm pretty satisfied with where I am. I'm happy. I'm at a place where I'm doing something that I enjoy doing. Like I mentioned in the survey, like getting to teach children, and pour into them and just show them that somebody cares about them, and that their education is important and their development is it matters to someone. And even getting to showcase to them a different culture, or for some of my kids, like I'm the first person of color that they've seen other than a Korean person. And so it's a really like enlightening experience for them to be able to see, like, oh, just because you don't look like me, you don't talk like me, like you're still a person. You're not fake. Like some of them will like come and like touch me, like, is this real, or like what's going on?
Right, yeah.
So just being able to share my culture, my experience, and have them share theirs with mine is such a like heartwarming experience. So I love that aspect, and just being able to experience a different culture in general, it's wonderful. And with the way, internet and everything set up, like we're talking across the world now, I'm able to still design when I want. And I'm not like tied down at a desk, like you have to do it, you have to design this by now, or like you won't be able to pay your bills.
Right.
I enjoy the freedom with being freelance and kind of taking the reins myself, that if this is what I want to do now, I'm able to take on a project or two. And when I'm want to take a break, I can pull back a little bit, and it's not like a big, it's not detrimental to my like lifestyle, I guess. And same thing with trading, like I'm able to do it. I know it provides me with an additional source of income. I really enjoy learning about it. I enjoy sharing it with other people, and I also trade with like other people, a team, and so I'm able to get to pour into them pour into me. We're learning together, growing together. So that's always a dope experience, because I feel like there's always something to learn from someone. Like even my children at school, they're teaching me things that I didn't know. They love to tell me like new Korean words, and then they're like, teacher, now I'm the teacher. And I'm like, that's right, you are. Like it's so great, just the exchange of knowledge. So I'm very like happy with the growth that I'm experiencing, I guess, just mentally and emotionally. Like my compassion levels are, I feel like, at an all-time high for just how other people live and how other people do things differently than what I would do. So I'm really cool with that. As far as the future goes, and what will bring me the most happiness is most definitely financial freedom. And I say that in the aspect of not like trying to become like going to be some like billionaire or something like that, but just the ability to move when I want to move. If I want to take a vacation, I don't want to like miss out on opportunities and events and just living life. That's one thing I learned from my call center job, was that I don't want to be tied down like this. Like if I have to ask you if I can have a day to celebrate my birthday, or if I can have a day to just because I need a day, like some days are just not working out, like mentally I'm not there. And if I have to ask you for that, and then you can tell me no. If I have to ask, you can tell me no. So that sucks.
Right. And how has that really been with the teacher job? Because I mean, I would assume like that you still have to show up for at least like the part of the school life. And I mean, I guess it's a little bit easier with kids because you really can, let's say that day you can just teach them about birthdays or culture from the US or something like that, and talk about, things like that, and translations with that or whatnot. But how does that play with the teacher role? And have you already experienced that?
So, Korean culture is a little bit different than US for sure, as far as especially work culture. I've noticed just in my time being here and just being a part of different like forums and seeing other people's experience, the work culture here, they're serious about their work. Like they don't expect you to want a day off outside of what you're allotted. Like luckily I made a job that I enjoy. So I don't mind being around the babies. They're so great. They're so cute and they make you love them no matter what kind of day you're having.
Right.
But yeah, the work culture here is definitely different than that of the States where I might be like, I'm not coming in today. But like here, they're like, but if you don't come in, who's going to replace you? How can we go on? Like, what's going to happen? And so it's like, okay, I have to go. I'm never like trying to like not go into work. It's always cool. It's good. But luckily I'm at a school that it's like, if I am sick, it's not the end of the world. Like I've heard some horror stories of people like, yeah, I've been sick at the job all day. I can't go anywhere. But like my school is really dope. They're definitely like people first. So I did have a time when my first winter here, their winter is very snowy and I'm from Alabama. So, you know, it was a little bit of adjusting. Like I live about 3 minutes from my school. So I walk to school. Like my apartment's like right across the street. And walking to school is great when it's sunny outside. Mm-hmm. But if it rains, if it snows, I'm also still walking to school. So
true.
I came down with the like sniffle kind of thing. And right. I came in, my boss is like, oh my gosh, go to the doctor now. We'll cover your class. So I went to the doctor and they gave me like some medicine that made me want to go to sleep. And so I'm like trying to teach kindergartners that are energetic and like bouncing off the walls. And I'm like,
not the day for me.
Yeah. And so my boss was really like just so compassionate. She's like, oh my goodness, just go home. We'll take care of it. It was great. So I don't really worry too much about it here because, I mean, we still get vacation. It's not like it's just more planned than when I'm like fully like financially free and retired and able to just move about as I please. It's a little bit more structured. So I have a week in the summer and a week in the winter, and that's cool for me right now. I'm not mad at that.
Cool. Yeah. And since you mentioned, you know, talking to your boss and stuff and negotiating with that, and you mentioned something about mentors as well, or finding them in college, have you since college or even in college and somebody that you've taken along, but have you since found any mentors that you talk to, that you go for advice and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. And I've actually, one of the mentors that I talk with now is actually somebody that's been around since. I started college a little bit before I started college, actually. But I never spoke with them in that capacity. So it's not just about finding someone that can mentor you, but building that relationship and opening the door to talk about the things that you need. So find the person, but also utilize them. I feel like a lot of us have resources. I could have easily, you know, asked a professor, like, what can I do? How can I be better at this? They've been there, done that, and have t-shirts to prove it. Like, there's people around, but it's definitely about tapping in and utilizing them as the resources they are. I think a lot of us have like the jewels sitting around that we're not even like looking at because we don't see them in that way. That's my teacher. That's my whatever, my sister, my cousin, my friend. But they have the things that you need and that you're looking for help with, or they're successful in the things that you're trying to do. So, yeah, I think it's much more about utilizing that than finding it.
Totally. Yeah. I think we all have people around us that, like you said, you know, we don't look at as somebody that can help us, you know, whether that is because of, you know, like financially how we see them or whatever it might be. And there might be like lots of reasons, I think, with that, but it's definitely about sometimes asking the right questions. You know, you don't know what story somebody's coming out of. And this podcast really, like, I think, shares some of that and finds some of that and helps people look for that. You know, and I don't know how well people do it without really asking those questions, but just being on the podcast, I think, and if people are listening to it, I think they can definitely find some of that, you know, some experiences that other people have gone through, or some like hardships that other people have gone through, and that just can teach them so much, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely.
You guys are doing an awesome job here.
Thank you.
I'm proud of the work you're doing, man, for sure.
Thank you so much, Jam. Thank you. And in the time before or after graduation, what new or old belief or behavior or habit have you gained and followed that you think has most improved your life?
I feel like just going for it, like putting aside the anxiety, like we all have things going on, but just do something. If you don't like where you're at, then like change it. That's literally the thing that's gotten me to this place. Like, I was like, you know what? Why not? And if I would have had that same attitude when I was applying for design jobs, we wouldn't have been here. So, you know, just having the go for it attitude, I would have never started trading. I would have never like moved here and been able to like be impacted by this culture so much. So yeah, definitely just going for it and putting it all out there. You never know like how things might pan out for you if you just start.
Definitely. Thank you so much for those words. And I'd like to now leave the stage to you, Jam, because I know that, you know, you do some poetry as well, and you really are creative and you love that. And you may choose to do the poetry if you want, or just, I guess, talk to us about something that you think we might have missed, or something that you think somebody can be benefited from. What would be some advice or some poetry that you would like to share?
Man, something that I could share that would be a benefit is to like the comparison piece that we did, that we talked about, that's like a super huge one, and it's definitely worthy of doubling back on. And just being secure with your story, like just stand in your story, whatever your truth is, like stand in it. Don't be afraid to confront it. Don't back down from it, because that's the only thing you have in this world that is unique to you. It's your story. No one can tell it like you. No one can live it like you. There's no like cookie cutter way, right or wrong way to live. Like, everybody's figuring it out. Even the person that you look up to the most, like whomever he or she may be, like we're all just figuring it out. And some of us get it figured out sooner than others. Some of us take a long time to get it figured out, but that's okay. Whatever your story is, just own it. And like the more authentic you are with your story, then the more like the things that are meant for you will just naturally gravitate towards you. Like when you stand in truth, then the things that you're looking for come and find you. Like, here I am. The things you're like, you don't have to have it all together. And that's why I said what I said about the fairy tale. Like, I think a lot of us get wrapped up in the idea that after college, we have to have everything figured out. And if not, then, you know, the world's going to end. But I mean, it's not true. You got time. You got time.
Totally. And I don't know if that was poetry or just very poetic, but those were some great words, Jam, and great ending words for sure. So thank you again so much for coming on and sharing your experiences. It was definitely great having you. And can you let people know where they can find you?
Oh, for sure. You can follow me on Instagram at jam.notjelly, jam.notjelly.
Great. And I'll put those, or I'll put that link in the description as well. And like I said last week, for now, we're going sponsor free. But maybe soon, when this podcast actually has more listeners, someone will want to advertise their product here. Until then, thank you so much to those of you that listen till the end and those that listen at all. This is your host, Arjit Singh, and you've been listening to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast. If you found value in this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. And as always, let us know how we can make this better. A traditional career is always untraditional. Thanks for listening.